Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks, Graham. We're going to be speaking or thinking about this morning, as Graham's already mentioned, thinking about Christ's sacrifice. It's a really relevant topic to think about and reflect on as we come to communion this morning. Think about Christ's sacrifice. And we're going to be looking at a few verses. We've only got a few minutes to look at them, really. So we can't possibly do them service in that time because they're packed full of great truth. But we're going to just read them quickly now, and then we'll say a few words on them. So it's taken from Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. Paul writes, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we've now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Amazing verses. I was thinking about how am I going to tackle this in just a few minutes. Now, my day job, what I do during the week, is I work in clinical research, doing clinical trials. I don't do the trials myself, but rather I work in quality assurance. I come along and I check what other people are doing, looking at their work. And one of the things I always look for when I'm doing that kind of an audit, is I look for an audit trail. What I want is to find evidence of the who, the when, the what, and the why. Who has done this activity? When was it done? What has been done? And why was it done? We need to have evidence of that. And so, maybe because I've been doing a few audits this week and it's been in my mind, that's how I've kind of approached this passage. Not that we're going to have an audit of this passage, but I'm going to take those four questions to look at. We're going to consider the who, the when, the what, and the why of Christ's sacrifice. So first of all, let's think about the who. Who was Christ's sacrifice for? Well, throughout these verses, we can see that Paul continually says we and us. Who is this us? He says Christ died for us. And that's all of us. And we'll see as we go through these a few verses here that Paul uses four different words to describe us. First of all, in verse 6, he says, we were powerless. We were weak. We were feeble. We weren't just less powerful than God. No, we were completely powerless, without any kind of power or ability that would allow us to save ourselves. So we were in a really desperate situation, completely helpless. Also in verse 6, Paul says we were ungodly. That's a state of our heart, a state of our being. We didn't have the things of God in our hearts and in our minds. There was nothing of righteousness or goodness or holiness or light in us. Rather, we were proud, selfish, self-centered, wanting to be our own masters rather than allowing God his rightful place in our lives. In verse 8, Paul goes on, he takes it a little bit further. He says, we were also sinners. It wasn't just a condition of our, a condition of our being, our heart. That was reflected in what we did, in our actions. We didn't keep God's law. He'd given us a law, and we've broken that law, and we've all done that. The Bible says all have fallen short of the standard that God has set for us. And you might think, well, the things I do aren't really that bad. But the truth is, if there's a law in this country and we break it, then there's a penalty. Just imagine you get your post through the door one morning, and you open one of the letters, and it's a penalty that you have to pay because you have broken the speed limit. And you might think, well, that's a bit harsh. I was only a little bit over the speed limit. It was quite safe, really. But you still have to pay the penalty because you've broken the law. And that applies to all of us, and it applies to God's law as well. I don't know if you saw this week, there was a story of a lady who had been in prison overseas for drug-related offences. And when she came back to the UK, she really couldn't see what she'd done wrong. But she'd broken the law, and there was a consequence, a penalty for that. And it affects all of us. And one of the ways it affects us is that Paul goes on to say it makes us enemies of God. It's quite an aggressive word to use here, isn't it? It's a picture of being at war with God. We're hostile towards God. We're rebelling against him. It's not just that we are disinterested or indifferent towards him. Maybe that's how you feel this morning. You feel, well, I don't particularly feel any hostile towards God. I don't particularly feel like I'm an enemy of God. I'm just not really interested. I feel quite indifferent. Well, Paul says, because we're ungodly, because we're sinful, that disobedience automatically makes us enemies with God. Being neutral isn't an option here. All of us, before we're saved, are enemies of God. So that was our condition. That's where we all were in the eyes of God, and it's a pretty desperate situation. We'll come back to think a little bit about why that situation was quite so desperate shortly. But it's a situation we're all in. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We're all ungodly. And Christ's sacrifice, Christ's sacrifice is for all of us. Everyone who ever lived. But, there's a but. We can only benefit from that sacrifice if we humble ourselves, acknowledge our sinfulness, and accept that free gift that Christ offers. Then we have opened up to us all the benefits that Christ's sacrifice brings. Then, and only then, can we be reconciled to God. But it was while we were in this situation, this state of being ungodly, of being sinful, of being an enemy of God, that's when Christ stepped in. Which brings us on to the when. So when was Christ's sacrifice made? Paul says it was made at just the right time. Look again at the same three verses that we've just looked at previously. In verse 6, Paul says that Christ died when we were still powerless. Verse 8, while we were still sinners. Verse 10, while we were God's enemy. It's while we were in this state of being opposed to God, an enemy of God, that Christ steps in and dies for us. You see, we didn't make the first move here. We didn't initiate. We didn't meet him halfway. We didn't start the process of reconciling ourselves to God. We were totally powerless to do that. Rather, while we were still rebelling against God, while humanity was still enemy of God, that's when Christ came and died. It's one of the things that makes Christ's sacrifice so incredible, so different to other examples of sacrificial giving that we might see or even experience ourselves. Because we do see examples of self-sacrifice in the world around us, from small selfless gestures to costly acts of extreme bravery and heroism. As Graham's already mentioned, next week is Remembrance Sunday, a chance to remember those in our services who have put their lives at risk, potentially lost their lives to protect the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. Men and women of extreme courage who put their own lives in danger in the defense of others, for the good of others. Even sometimes we hear of extreme acts of bravery and courage where people in those sorts of situations will lay down their lives willingly and knowingly for the good of someone else. And Paul acknowledges this in verse 7. He says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. And most stories we hear of self-sacrifice really fall into this category, don't they? Where the one laying down their life is doing so to save a loved one or a comrade, maybe fellow countrymen, maybe a friend. And we may even consider that situation ourselves and wonder, what would we do? And perhaps we would like to think that we would do the same. We would lay down our life for a loved one. But how often would we be prepared to lay down our lives for an enemy? Someone who is opposed to us, someone who is hostile towards us, someone who wishes us harm. But this is what Christ did. And as we'll see, his sacrifice meant so much more than just laying down his life. As awful and as barbaric as the agony of the cross was, the physical agony, what Christ took on himself on the cross meant so much more than that. Because I think we can't really begin to understand and unpack Christ's sacrifice without considering what it was he was achieving on the cross. What it was he was saving us who were his enemies from. And how he did that. And how he continues to do that. So what is the penalty for our disobedience? For our ungodliness and our sinfulness? Well, Paul makes it quite clear in this chapter and in other parts of Romans that the penalty, the wages, the punishment for our sin is death. But it's not just a quick, painless passing away of our physical selves. That's not the kind of death he's talking about here. Let's look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, since we've now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? See, we're not just saved from death. What we're actually saved from is the full force of God's wrath. Again, it's quite a strong word to use here, isn't it? A powerful word, a very evocative word. His wrath, his holy, righteous, and justified anger against a sinful world. We can't really imagine what that looks like. We could open Revelation this morning and have a look in there and maybe get a glimpse of what God's wrath against sinful humanity might look like. And however you might interpret that, it's enough to know that it's something we should be trying to avoid at all costs. It's not pretty. And it's this wrath which Christ took upon himself on the cross as he became sin for us. The pure, sinless, blameless Son of God took the wrath of his Father. The Father with whom he had spent eternity in perfect, loving relationship and unity. And not just the wrath deserved by one person, but the wrath deserving of the entirety of fallen, sinful humanity. The weight of which was so great that Isaiah 53 says he was crushed by it. This was Christ's sacrifice for us. Yes, the physical agony, but he was crushed by our iniquities. This is what he knowingly and willingly took upon himself so that we could be reconciled to God. And he doesn't even stop there. You could be forgiven for thinking, well, what more could he possibly do? That's incredible. But Paul goes on. Let's look at verse 10. He says, for if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? You see, the moment we humble ourselves before God, we acknowledge our sinfulness, We accept what Christ did for us on the cross. We are reconciled to God at that moment. We're no longer his enemies from that point on. And that can never change. That's the wonderful thing. And the reason that can never change is because we have one who intercedes for us. One who is alive and right now sits at the right hand of God and pleads in our defense. And his defense is perfect and it's sufficient. If you'll allow me just to imagine the scene for a second, just imagine Jesus saying to the Father, here's James. The charge brought against him is that he's selfish. He's selfishness in his heart. The penalty for that is death. And yes, it's deserving of your wrath. But look at the cross. I've already taken that wrath for him. Here's another charge brought against him. He's proud. He has pride in his heart. Again, it's deserving of your wrath. But look at the cross. I've already taken that wrath for him. And you may look at your own life and think, well, the things I've done, the things I've said, the things I've thought are so bad, so vile. I just keep on doing them. It's not just once or twice. It's something I repeatedly do. I can't stop it. How can that possibly be justified or justifiable before a holy God? Well, if you've accepted what Christ did for you on the cross, if you've humbled yourself in that way, then you need to know that right now, Jesus sits at the right hand of God and says, yes, it's deserving of your wrath, Father. But look at the cross. I've already taken that wrath. Any and every single charge that could be brought against us, the very worst thing we could imagine, if we belong to Jesus, he has already taken the wrath of God that we deserve on himself. That is our defense. And it's sufficient. It's enough. And so the result is that not one of those charges can continue to be held against us. Not one of those stains can remain on us. When God looks at us, he sees us as clean, spotless, clothed in righteousness because of Jesus and because of the faith we've put in Jesus' sacrifice. And so we can be reconciled to him. We're no longer his enemy. We're now his friend. And that applies right now. It's not the case that we will be his friend when he's completed the work he's doing in us. It's not that we will be his friend when we get to heaven. No, we can call God our friend now because there's no longer any enmity between us and God. We've been reconciled. So finally then, the why, just very briefly, just as we come to communion and think about why. Why would Christ do this for us? Why would God send his beloved son to die for us in this way, to take this agonizing penalty upon himself when we were enemies to him? Were we deserving of it? Did we do something to earn it? No. It's very, very simple, but incredibly, wonderfully amazing. Verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Such a well-known, familiar verse. Maybe it's one you learnt when you were a child in Sunday school. But it's such a wonderful, wonderful truth. Because it's God's love. It's God's love for us which sent Jesus to the cross. It's his love for us which held him there when he could have called upon legions of angels. It's a special kind of love. It's God's love, his own love. Not our love, not the way we love people in and of our own strength. It's a divine, eternal, unconditional love which surpasses our human understanding, but which has made it possible for us to be reconciled to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to communion and think about your sacrifice, we are afresh just taken aback and in awe of what you achieved. Father, we acknowledge our sinfulness, our ungodliness, our need of a Savior. And Lord, we can only begin to imagine what it was that Christ took upon himself as he hung on that cross. And Lord, all we can say is thank you. Thank you for that wonderful, wonderful sacrifice and the free gift that you offer to us. Amen.